on 40 Christian virtues. Let's go to Matthew 6:33. You've probably heard of that verse for our second one today. So last week we looked at boldness. We're going to do them alphabetically. I didn't know how else to look at them, but today we're going to look at commitment. And Mr. Scott is going to read Matthew 6:33. We'll pray and we'll get started.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen. Today is about commitment or consecration, another virtue that God wants us to possess. But first, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, the privilege to study it together. Use it in our lives today. Lord, may we have this desire to be fully committed to you and your cause of reaching this world. So thank you, and we commit that to you and pray, Lord, that you would guide us in your truth and that hearts would be changed through your power today. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. One thing I forgot last week is I'm going to give you some memory verse suggestions for each one to add to your memory verse collection, and I didn't do that last week, so let's start there. Last week we talked about boldness. And I'll give you three memory verse possibilities you can add to your list. So one is Psalm 118:6, which says, "The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" So that's the Psalm 118:6. That's a possibility. Another one we looked at is Proverbs 28:1, which says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." And then 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So those are three possible memory verses. If we get one for each of these 40 Christian virtues, then we're on our way, aren't we? So you're welcome to add one or all of those to your list. For today, the one that Mr. Scott just read is a good one. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." We're talking about commitment or consecration. And the second one would be Romans 12:1. A lot of you already know that one. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Amen. "Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." So today we're going to focus on this virtue of commitment or consecration. In other words, being fully committed to the cause of Christ. It's one thing to be saved, praise God, and to be a child of God. It's another thing to be fully committed to God and to what God wants from us. And that's all about putting God first, isn't it? As it says there, Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Amen? So we'll look at some scriptures today that talk about commitment or consecration. Brother Howard, if you could read for us 1 Corinthians 10:31, another good memory verse, by the way, one of the ones that we sing.
"Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, ye all to the glory of God."
So again, this word "all," seek ye first, living sacrifice. You can see this pattern here, that God wants us to be fully committed to the Lord. Amen? Fully committed. We looked at this, if you go to Luke 14, we looked at this a couple weeks ago in the morning service when we looked at true discipleship. And in that, Jesus gave us some very strong definitions of a true disciple, didn't he? And they're all about being committed fully to him. So notice Luke 14, verse 27. Cash, could you read that for us? So bear his cross, what is that saying? That's saying die to self, right? Be willing to sacrifice for Jesus. Down in verse 33, Brandon, could you read that for us?
"So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple."
So again, we're talking today about commitment or consecration. Jesus here says that if we're going to be his disciple, if we're going to be one of his followers, firstly, he says in verse 27, you got to take up your cross. But then he says in verse 33, we need to forsake all else for him. Amen. Paul talked about this many times in Philippians 3. Let's go there if we could. Brent, if you could read for us Philippians 3, verses 7 and 8, we'll see the commitment that Paul had to serving the Lord.
Of all things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ.
So he's saying, I count all else as loss. Amen? For who? For Jesus Christ. I count it all as loss. And that is, that's Paul saying, I'm fully committed to what God has called me to do, which is to be his disciple. In his case, to be his apostle as well. And then also, if you go to 2 Corinthians 8, Paul here is primarily talking about giving, but he's using this church, or the churches, I should say, of Macedonia as an example of churches that were fully committed to the cause of Jesus Christ. Philip, if you could read for us verses 3 and 5 of 2 Corinthians 8. Yes, please.
And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God.
So notice he says they gave themselves to the Lord. That's consecration, isn't it? Lord, I am yours. They first gave themselves to the Lord. It says in verse 32, they were willing of themselves to go beyond their power. In other words, they were willing to do anything and everything that they could for the cause of Jesus Christ. That is our virtue today, is this virtue of commitment, of consecration, of completely selling out for the cause of Jesus Christ. God has already given us commands, but he tells us, if you go to Luke 17:10, that if we are an obedient servant, all we should say is we're still unprofitable because we haven't gone beyond. So, Roy, if you could read that for us, Luke 17:10. So it's our duty, amen, to do all those things which are commanded us. That's our duty. Commitment is going beyond our duty, amen? Going beyond just, okay, I need to do this, 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 and this. Commitment says, no, I'm going to give God everything. God is everything, and I'm going to fully commit myself, fully consecrate myself. He owns me. Now I'm going to act like he owns me. And that's what it says. If you've just done your duty, he uses a parable here about a servant. He says, you're still an unprofitable servant. I've just done my duty. God wants us to go beyond our duty and give it all to the Lord. That's commitment. That's consecration. Now, well, the opposite of that is found for us in Revelation 3, isn't it? Let's turn there. The Laodicean church. This would be the opposite of consecration or commitment. And that is what God calls lukewarm. This is not being fully committed, but just basically cruising along in our Christianity. Yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I'm going to heaven. Yes, God bought me with his blood, but I'm not going to give him my all. I'm just going to live a lukewarm Christian life. Nathan, if you could read for us verses, I don't want to read too much of it. How far? Just go ahead and read 15 to 20. I know that's quite a bit. Chapter 3 of Revelation, yeah. 15 through 20.
Please. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me.
So Jesus wants to commune with us. Amen. He stands at the door and he knocks. But he's rebuking, and this is a church, right? He's rebuking this church for being lukewarm. So this isn't what God wants. He wants us to be hot. Amen? That'd be another word for committed or consecrated, is on fire for God. This is what he wants. Fully committed to the cause of Jesus Christ. This is what God's after. Jesus warns us in Matthew 6, if you want to turn there, that if we're not careful, we will try to serve two masters. And he tells us that never works. You cannot serve two masters. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters. So in this case, we're going to spiritualize it a little bit, because here he's talking about God and money. But let's spiritualize a little bit. What would be the two masters? If God is one, what would be the other? Satan, that's a possible second master. What else? What else would be a master? Yes, Ethan?
Self.
Ourself, exactly. Our own flesh, our own self-desires, because we are selfish, we are self-centered. So Jesus tells us here, no man can serve two masters. Here's what will happen. He will hate the one and love the other. Or he will hold to the one and despise the other. So he's telling us that we can only have one master. And of course, we know who that's supposed to be, him. Amen? We cannot have two. If we're fully committed or fully consecrated to the cause of Jesus Christ, he is our master. He is our Lord. 100%. Which means he gets to dictate what we do with our lives. Amen? Rather than us telling him what we want to do. So in Luke 6:46, Jesus asks a rhetorical question. Let's turn there. And Isaiah, if you could read that for us. Luke 6:46.
And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?
Short verse, but what a question. Why call me Lord, Lord? Why keep referring to me as your Lord? Why keep referring to me as your master, but then not do what I say? Because if you're not doing what I say, then I'm not your master, right? That's what he's telling us. Because a servant always obeys his master. He's using slavery as an example here from the Old Testament. A slave was never allowed to disobey. They could die for that. Or be severely punished. Jesus said, why keep referring to me as your Lord, but not do the things which I say? Why call me your master, but not obey me? So consecration, commitment, is a virtue that Jesus asks of each of his children, that we completely put him first, that we be willing to be a living sacrifice for him. In other words, die to self, take up our cross, and be fully his. And be willing to follow him wherever he calls us to go, however he calls us to go there, to be fully consecrated and committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, they that are Christ's, Galatians 5:24, have crucified the flesh. Amen? They that are truly Christ's have said the flesh is dead. It's crucified. I'm not going to follow it anymore. That's self. Now I'm going to follow Jesus. Amen? That song that we sing, I have decided to follow Jesus, which we'll talk about in the morning service. So thoughts or questions about this second Christian virtue of commitment or consecration? Being fully committed to Jesus. It's not saying you're not saved or that you're lost. That's not the point. It's that you are a fully committed Christian, committed to Jesus Christ 100%. Thoughts or questions? Roy, you act like you wanted to say something. No? Nobody? Well, then I think we can get another one in. Since we're doing them alphabetically, let's move on to number three, which would be compassion. Not that closely related to consecration or commitment, but it's alphabetically next. Compassion. Does God want us to be compassionate?
I would say yes.
Thank you. Romans 12:15. Let's turn there. Mr. Scott, if you could read that for us.
Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep.
Amen. This would be more about empathy, but it's related to sympathy and compassion, mercy. In the Bible, the Greek word for compassion is sometimes translated compassion and sometimes translated mercy. So they're pretty much very interrelated. Amen. Let's look at another one, 1 Peter 3:8. Howard, if you could read that for us. This would be a good memory verse. If you need a memory verse for number three, this would be the one, 1 Peter 3:8. Having compassion one of another. So when you hear the word compassion, what do you think of? Anybody? We're just told there to have compassion one of another, 1 Peter 3:8. What does that mean? To have compassion.
I would say kindness.
Okay. Anybody else? Compassion. Nobody has any thoughts on what it is? It's a tough word, isn't it? Because mercy, which is one of our potential gifts, very closely related to compassion, and maybe that helps. Yes? Well, getting alongside those that are hurting, for sure. That's a big part of it, isn't it? So to have compassion on when our brothers and sisters fall, or when they are hurting, like Cash said, we get alongside them and we show compassion. We show mercy. Is God compassionate? Amen? Is God merciful? Of course. So, and we'll find with all of these virtues, we're just emulating our Lord. Amen? Because He has them all. But God wants us to have compassion. We saw the empathy part there in Romans 12:15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, but also weep with them that weep. That's empathy, isn't it? That we hurt when people hurt, when our brothers and sisters hurt. We rejoice when they rejoice. There would be no jealousy when something good happens to our brothers and sisters. There would only be rejoicing. Amen? And that is true compassion. God is compassionate. Look at Lamentations 3. He's, our, of course, always our example. Now, this passage, these two verses here, created one of our favorite hymns. Lamentations 3. Cash, could you read 22:23? His compassions fail not. Isn't that beautiful? Straight out of our song, isn't it? Great is thy faithfulness. But his compassions fail not. That's our Lord. It says it's because of his mercies that we're not consumed. If we got what we deserved, we'd all go to hell. But he saved us because of his mercy, right? Titus 3:5. So God is our example, of course, of being a compassionate, merciful God, and He wants us to emulate that in our lives. Let's look at 1 Peter 3:8 again, Brandon, if you would. Now, we looked at it under... Oh, no, we already looked at it, didn't we? Sorry. Never mind. We already looked at 1 Peter 3:8. Let's look at John 3:17, if we could. 1 John 3:17. Here, God talks about putting it into action. So, putting compassion into action. 1 John 3:17 and 18. Brandon, if you could read those for us.
Whoso has
setteth up his bells of compassion for you. How good to love the God in him. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth.
Shutteth up his bowels of compassion. So now we see that compassion results in action, doesn't it? It's not just, oh, I feel compassionate because you're hurting. Well, good for you. We're not really interested in your feelings right now. Show your compassion. Amen? That's what he says. It says, if you see that a brother has a need, and you have the means to meet the need, don't shut up your bowels of compassion, but put them into action. Do something about helping meet that need. When you see your brother or sister has a need, he says, let us not love in word. Let's not just say we love, right? Verse 18. Let us love in deed. Amen. Let us love in what we do, in deed and in truth, not just what we say, but what we do. And that is the way to show compassion. Verse 17. Otherwise, we're shutting up our bowels of compassion. Jude 1, if you look there, verse 22. Brent, if you could read that for us. Here it's talking about having compassion on the lost.
And if some have compassion, making a difference.
And go ahead and read the next verse.
And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh.
If some have compassion, look at that, making a difference. Compassion should make a difference. Amen. And here he's talking about the lost. So how do we make a difference with a lost person with compassion? We tell them about Jesus. Amen. Now that's making a difference. It's made a difference in all of our lives, hasn't it? That someone cared enough about us, showed enough compassion to tell us about Christ. He says of some, make a difference. Show compassion. Pulling them out of the fire. By sharing the gospel. So God wants us to have compassion for one another. As we saw there in 1 John 3. Don't shut up your bowels of compassion. But don't love in word or in deed. But in, or don't love in word or in tongue. But love in deed. Show it. Show your compassion. This is what God wants. Compassion. Mercy. He wants us to emulate these this virtue of our Lord. He talks a little bit more if you go to Hebrews 13:3 about empathy. Philip, if you could read that for us. Hebrews 13:3.
Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body.
As bound with them. That's empathy, isn't it? Because back then, a lot of Christians were in jail just for being Christians. And he says, remember them as bound with them. That's empathy. And God wants us to show this to others. And if you go to Matthew 18, verse 22, Jesus told a parable, very powerful parable about the unforgiving servant. You're all familiar with it. The servant who owed an unpayable debt and he was forgiven of the person who he owed it to. And his response to being forgiven this unpayable debt was to go and take someone by the throat who owed him a very tiny debt. Rather than forgive him, he didn't. And this is God's way of saying this is what we look like when we won't forgive. Because God forgave us everything. Amen. All trespasses. Therefore, we're to always forgive. But in the midst of that, verses 20, well, let's see, how much of it do we want to read? Verse 27, the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. So the Lord of the servant that owed the big debt showed compassion and then did something about it, right? He loosed him and forgave him the debt. And then later on, when the Lord is rebuking the unforgiving servant, he says, verse 32, then the Lord, after he had called him, said, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me, verse 33, shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Shouldn't you have therefore shown compassion, like I showed compassion, when you came to me and begged me to release your debt? Shouldn't you have done the same? And this is the Lord showing compassion on us. He says, now I want you to do the same to those whom ask you for your forgiveness. So God wants us to be a compassionate, merciful, and in this case, pitiful as well, servant. Amen? This is another Christian virtue that God wants us to emulate. The virtue of compassion. Thoughts or questions about number three, compassion? So he wants us to be bold. Amen? He wants us to be committed, and he wants us to be compassionate. So we got 3 out of 40. Brother Brent?
You started off this part in compassion referring to a verse in Romans 12, and it says there to condescend to men of lower state.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about how when we're preaching the gospel to the lost, for example, it's a form of showing compassion.
That is.
And, in Romans 12, so we know the scripture says to them of lower state, and by actually showing and condescending to them, it could actually backfire against us. People would say, well, I'm better than you, or you're not better than me, and they could take that the wrong way. However, the thing is that by showing compassion, you just go beyond that as well, and you continue to just offer the gospel, continue to have, you live by the Spirit or not the flesh coming up and rioting against it, and sort of that.
Amen. Amen. They're of the lowest estate, aren't they? They're going to hell. They're Satan's children. Good. So God wants us to always show compassion to our brothers and sisters and to the lost. Thoughts or questions about any of those three things? So boldness, commitment, compassion. Yes, sir.
I think if you just use the dictionary too, it can help sometimes. If you just look up the definition of some words if you're not sure, like compassion. It says sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. And then you can put a lot of those thoughts into perspective.
Amen. It all has to do with others, though, doesn't it? Showing compassion to others. That's what this virtue is about, others. When we see someone hurting, we show compassion. We see a lost person needs Jesus, we show compassion. Amen? Any other thoughts or questions? All right, so next week, contentment. As we do them alphabetically. And maybe another one after that. Let's see, what's number 5? Diligence. But for today, let's focus on what we've covered so far. God wants us to be bold. Amen? Fully committed or consecrated to His cause. And a compassionate, merciful, pitiful.